Bob Enyart Live, but first, here's our Denver Bible Church update. Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church, and I'd like to invite you to come on out and visit us this Sunday at 6200 West Hampton. That's near Hampton and Wadsworth. You can check us out on the web at denverbiblechurch.com. You can call us for directions at 303-463-1707. That's 463-1707. Or, of course, you could see the directions on the web at denverbiblechurch.org. We've got directions on the web from if you're coming from north, south, east, west. And then if you scroll down past the page, it says from hell. And it says you can't get here from there. So come now while you can to Denver Bible Church. I have here our bulletin from this past Sunday, and just thought I'd give you a little bit more information about the church. For example, the bulletin, Denver Bible Church, August 31st, 2003, starts out with our mission. Our mission, Denver Bible Church, seeks to honor God by winning people to Jesus Christ and discipling Christians to conform to his image. We minister the Bible message to those seeking truth, to both Christians and unbelievers. So that's what we're all about at Denver Bible Church. We have our statement of faith on the back of the bulletin. And let's see, let me continue here in the bulletin itself. Pastor Bob Enyart and all of us at Denver Bible Church welcome you today and hope you have a great day in the Lord. We actually had a really neat Sunday. Sunday school starts at 9:30. And we are in the Gospel of Matthew in Sunday school. And then refreshments and fellowship at 10:30. We tried something other than Krispy Kreme donuts this Sunday. I didn't actually get to the committee to get the feedback to see how the non-Krispy Kreme donuts went over. But we've got coffee and donuts. We've had donuts for a couple years now. And I think in all that time, I've had one or two. Imagine that. Huh. Pretty good. And why am I overweight? Okay, let's see. Then the worship service starts about 11 o'clock, about 10 to 11, 10:50. The worship team begins to play music and people start worshiping in the Lord. And the service runs from about 11 to 12 o'clock. And the sermons were actually in the Gospel of Luke. And it's sort of fun because in the Sunday school, we talk about Matthew, and in the sermon, Luke, and those two gospels parallel one another. And so we get to chat about, discuss the things that are in the sermons, because normally you can't interact during the sermons. So that's what the Sunday school is for. And the Sunday night Bible studies at 6 o'clock were in Paul's letter to the Colossians. We're in chapter 3, and that is a lot of fun. So we invite you to come on out. Now, also, we've got prayer requests, and if you were at our church this Sunday, you would have seen our prayer request was for the pro-life group that came to Denver this week, the Survivors, and for their staff and volunteers and the events they planned all this weekend. It was a great success. They came to Colorado to oppose abortion here in our state. And we prayed for Ken and Joe Scott, Jason Troyer, Keith and Jennifer Mason, Mike List, Nathaniel Enyart, and all of our pro-life workers at the church, at Denver Bible Church. So what else? Oh, the Right to Life Banquet is one of our announcements. It's coming up Saturday night, September 20th, $50 a plate dinner. And for those in the church who want to go, see Mike Bernhardt. For those out there in Radio Land, give us a call here at Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART, and you could come on out and sit at our table. We're looking forward to that Saturday night, September 20th, here in Denver, $50 a plate. So anyway, that's from the bulletin at Denver Bible Church, so come on out and join us.
Service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God.
brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyar, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number is 1-800-8-ENYAR. That's 1-800-836-9278. Hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. We sure did. We did some pro-life work with the survivors here in Denver. And what else did we do? My sons and I, the little ones, the three-year-old, two-year-old, three-year-old, and five-year-old, we did some of our science experiments. We homeschool, and so we took some time on Memorial Day and did some gravity experiments. It was really fun. We were actually going all around the metro area, up in the mountains, looking for places where we could drop different weighted objects and measure the time they take to hit the ground and record our observations, our data, and try to understand gravity on our own. Now, the two-year-old, he's a bit young. He just likes to see things fall and hit the ground. And the three-year-old, he mostly just likes to run and get the things to recover the equipment, the implements. But the five-year-old, he's got a pretty good handle on gravity, and he enjoys the whole nature of the experiment. So that's what we did. I wonder what you did this weekend. Did you live out your Christianity? Did you live your Christianity, or did you do something else? All right, it's neat to put your faith into action and that it would make a difference in your life. And that's our goal, of course, that we could live as Christians. So let's see. In the news, what do we got to talk about tonight? We've got 100 death sentences overturned, thanks to the Republican U.S. Supreme Court. Yes, the Republican U.S. Supreme Court, which is liberal on virtually every topic, because of their ruling, we now have 100 death sentences overturned. How's that? Because they made it even more difficult to execute criminals. In Afghanistan, we have the Taliban teaming with al-Qaeda again, apparently, according to the Associated Press. So that's up and coming. In Iraq, we've got, of course, the bombing at the mosque in Najaf. And what's interesting about what al-Qaeda is doing, and that's apparently an al-Qaeda attack, what's interesting about what they're doing is they're really mimicking Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. You know, Hitler and the Nazis hated the Jews, and that's primarily what impassioned them, although they were a more atheistic political movement, whereas the Islamic terrorist organizations are a religious movement that also hates the Jews as one of their leading motivators. And hatred could very easily become blinding. And people who have strong emotional hatreds, they typically don't think clearly. And so Hitler pretty much attacked everyone in every direction and became overwhelmed because of the response from every direction. He was going up against the whole world practically. And that's what al-Qaeda is doing and the Islamic terrorists. Right. Not only do they attack Israel and the U.S., they attack in Bali, in the Philippines, they attack around the world, and they attack the U.N. headquarters in Iraq, and they attack the Shiites and kill, what, about 100 Shiites coming out of this mosque, including one of the most popular imams, clerics, and this is one of the most holy sites in the Muslim world. Not that that actually matters. It's paganism. But still, they're attacking everyone. They're attacking almost everyone. It's just, it's good to see that our enemy lacks wisdom. That's good to see. it's more difficult when your enemy is strategic and wise in the more significant ways. And so the news now is that Osama bin Laden has had a terrorist, basically a summit in Afghanistan, if that's to be believed, probably Pakistan. But if he's apparently had this summit and they're planning an attack to dwarf 9/11 against America. And the claim is, well, at least the reports are that it would be a biological attack. Is that possible? Yes, that's totally possible. Would it be devastating? It would be very devastating. And then our work, the work we would have cut out for us as conservative Christians, as conservatives in the media, is we would have to do our best to promote, advocate, defend, and show the not only the validity, but the necessity, if we're to win for freedom and justice, of using force and escalating the war against terrorists and against any government that would dare harbor, promote, support terrorism. And if need be, now we're fighting here a war against religious zealot terrorists. And we have clerics who speak to thousands, sometimes tens of thousands, or even via the media, state-run news outlets where they air the clerics' sermons. And sometimes they speak to millions. And they advocate slaughtering Jews, slaughtering Americans, joining jihad. And if that happens, to the extent, if there is another attack on America, and if we need to escalate, we need to recognize. Now, we're thankful that the government has implemented maybe a half dozen significant objectives that we identified the day of the attack on the air while 9/11 was in progress. And the next day at church, at Denver Bible Church, and then that weekend, that Saturday, at a conference, a seminar in Indiana, where we did America Under Attack, a Christian response. So the government has already implemented a lot of the objectives that we called for immediately, which is good. Some half-heartedly, but they're doing it little by little. But if there's an escalation, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to begin to target the clerics, the religious leaders who are the conspirators in the war on terror. We'll be back with Bill from Pittsburgh after this.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Bob Inyart here. Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is a live commercial break. Today we were working on a plot Bible study. That's one of the albums we have, the Bible study albums, on the overview of the whole Bible. And it is so fun to study the Bible. Today was with two of the young guys at our church, 11 and 12 years old. And we've taped so far, the three of us, we've taped 21 hours of Bible study. The Bible studies with the guys is for kids. And we're not sure what we're going to title this, but we think it's going to be The Plot Boys. And it's so neat to have a couple young guys that know the Bible so very well. 21 hours of Bible study so far. We probably have another 20 hours ago to go. And then we'll get through our overview of the whole Bible. Well, if you're not a pre-teenager or a young teen, well, then you can check out the plot we have right now for adults. You don't have to wait. The Plot audio tape album. Or the Plot Manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible, you can give us a call at 1-888-8-NUR or go online, check out our store at kgov.com or call us at 1-888-8-NUR. Bob Enyart here. Our call-in line is 1-800-836-9278. We're going to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Bill, speak your mind.
Hello?
Hello, Bill. How are you? Bill,
hello?
Can you hear me, Bill? All right. Bill's not able to hear me.
I can hear you.
Okay, there we go. Go right ahead, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to talk to you again, Bob.
Yeah.
You're familiar with Fred Phelps.
Fred
in
Phelps.
The Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah, the Baptist Church in Kansas, I think it is, that that consists of his family and a few other people.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Phelps is rather he is opposed. He's a conservative right-wing Christian of sorts. He opposes abortion and homosexuality, but he has an especially strange way of doing it. He's extremely vulgar, and he uses filthy language. I actually got a pretty terrible introduction to him and his family when his young daughters came on my radio show maybe 7 years ago.
Huh.
And they were in their maybe an 18-year-old and a 20, 21-year-old. And they came in, and on the air, the older daughter started just using the most vulgar, filthy, vulgar, four-letter word language. It was shocking.
Yeah.
And they talk like that when, you know, they don't like what homosexuals do. And they sort of adopt the filthiness of the homosexual world in their own speech, in their own demeanor. So it's just a vulgar form of radical Christianity.
I see.
That was my experience with Fred Phelps and family.
Well, I've been to his website numerous times. And it just so happened I was I went to kgov.com and I was listening to a show that you had taped on July 28th. You had mentioned about Bob Hope. I guess it was just the day or the day after he passed away or something.
Yes, right.
And from what I got, I mean, you really didn't say too much about him. I think the show was, you were sort of like interrupted with some other things. You really didn't say too much about him, mm-hmm. except I think you said somebody was a conservative or something like that.
Well. Not exactly, but go ahead. Make your
point. Well, anyway, on Fred Phelps' website, that's GodHatesFags.com.
Right. That's typical Fred Phelps.
What's that?
That's typical Fred Phelps.
Yeah. Well, I went in there, and he has an article in there. It says, Bob Hope is in hell.
Right.
And, of course, I clicked on it. And in the page, I printed it out. In the page, he says that Bob Hope raised $70,000 for Topeka, Kansas, Sodomite Whorehouse, also known as Grace Cathedral. And he publicly cursed the Westwood Baptist Church on behalf of GLAAD. You've heard of GLAAD, of course, right?
Gay and Lesbian Anti-Defamation
right.
Deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I guess what he referred to as the Sodomite House of Ill Repute, he's referring to some homosexual church
right.
in Topeka, right?
So I was just wondering how you do you know anything about that, or do you have any?
No, I don't know about Bob Hope's any of his if he would have worked to support or promote homosexuals or, and I wouldn't be surprised at all. I don't think he's a Christian. The point I was making was sort of that when he died was a social commentary on how he became so wildly popular for so many decades.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I was a great fan of his.
Yeah, right. And not only Bob Hope, but others, singers like Bing Crosby. I think I don't think anybody's sold as many records as Bing Crosby. I might be wrong, but...
You're probably right on that.
Yeah, and why is it that, you know, we think of the golden age of TV came out of, you know, the radio era and then into the early years of TV. And the reason that these entertainers became so popular was because America had almost a single culture. Because there were only a few radio stations, only a few networks. And then when TV started, there were only a few TV networks.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone watched Jack Benny. Everyone. And when Bob Hope came out with a new movie, everybody saw the movie. And today, there are literally thousands of radio stations a young person might be inclined to listen to over the internet. And just, you know, hundreds of TV stations, cable, satellite, video, VCRs, DVDs. None of that was around back then. So we had a single culture, and people became superstars beyond what superstars today dream of. So that was the point I was making. As far as Bob Hope being righteous or a Christian, I don't have any evidence to that effect. And I actually made a negative comment about something he would put in his movies that seemed very innocent at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who recoiled against it back then, who didn't like it, were the ones with insight and vision. Because they knew that when there were constant jokes about sexuality and going with whose wife and guys dressing up like girls, you know, but it was all so innocent compared to today, the conservative Christians who understood the forces of morality knew where it was heading. And they made it so cute and so lighthearted and, you know, making eyes at every woman that came by, treating them as just sex objects.
Right.
And that was destructive back then when Bob Hope championed it and pretty much every other major actor and comedian.
Yeah.
In American culture, and it led directly to what we have today. Directly. It was just a continuous further use of women as sexual props for entertainment. And it's wrong.
I remember something you said, I think it was a week or two ago, you said that you can't even turn around anymore without bumping into a homo, and that's certainly true on the television shows. On cable. I mean, just every other commercial about an upcoming show, it's either on a homo or else a woman who has very little clothing on or something like that.
Yeah, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a homo.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah, it's true.
Hey, one last question, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Jonathan Edwards. Did you mention him before?
I don't recall. Say
okay,
a little more.
I think it was something had to do with Theology Online or something. I forget how I...
I don't.
Do you know the individual, JonathanEdwards.com or something like that?
I don't. His name sounds real familiar, but right now I'm not placing
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. I just wanted a few.
All right, Bill. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you.
Well, I appreciate your call.
Take care.
All right. Goodbye. So, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Yeah, conservative Christians can recognize trends where they're going to go years, decades before they get there. And so we recoil at things that other people, even Christians who haven't seen the light and they're not right-wing Christians, they might be true Christians, but they're liberal. They might think they're moderate, which means really they're immoral Christians. And they don't understand that the things they accept, the things they wink at, the things they laugh at, they think it's funny or cute or no real harm or it's not that bad. And, oh, well, you know, it's an R-rated movie, but just go with some parental guidance. Yeah, you don't want teenagers seeing sexually explicit scenes in a movie unless they're with their mom. Yeah, isn't that great? And then mom and her kids could watch the sex in the theater. That's worse. It's worse when you have fornication that parents and their kids together are participating and enjoying it. That's worse than if just the kids were watching it. You know, you got to watch out. Whatever our secular culture thinks is a good idea is almost always a bad idea. Well, you don't want kids to see these movies unless their parents are there. Oh, good. So we'll have parents and kids together watching soft porn. Just great. Great. So disgusting. All right. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Now, the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel. Right? Christians who oppose the death penalty, they don't realize it. They're unwittingly opposing, they're undermining the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because God the Father demanded the death penalty to satisfy the requirements of justice. And when Christians oppose the death penalty, they put out this very unbiblical concept that there's something wrong with the death penalty. And the more the culture finds the death penalty distasteful, the more it will reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is based on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What kind of God would require a death? What kind of God would require that? That's barbaric. Even we human beings are more civilized than to require the death penalty. And that's what Christians do. They're too ignorant to recognize it, but that's what they do when they oppose the death penalty. At any rate, a swift and painful death penalty is biblical. That's what the Bible teaches, the swift and painful death penalty. And in America, we think we're doing great when we only have 14,000 murders in 1 year. Imagine that. What does that equal? Over 10,000 murderers in 1 year. Do you think about that? Over 10,000 murderers in 1 year, each year, every year. In the last 10 years, it was as high as 24,000 murders in 1 year. It vacillates, it fluctuates. And so we have our Republican Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, which gave rendered a decision last year that judges cannot hand out a death sentence. Judges can't, only juries. And so 100 death sentences were thrown out today as a result of the Republican U.S. Supreme Court making it harder and harder to execute convicted murderers. Wow. That's tragic. Because, you know, you can't do away with the death penalty. You have no death penalty, and more people will be killed. Innocent people, but more people will be killed. Let's go to the phones in Maybank, Texas. Now, I'm going to ask, we're going to go to a break. So I'm going to ask Tom if he could hang on through the break. Hey, Tom.
I can hang on.
You can hang on. All right. How's the weather down in Maybank?
We finally got some rain.
All right. Glad to hear it. We're getting a lot up here in Denver. Our drought is over, so we'll be back right after this. One 1-800-8-NYART. That's our order line. That's the call-in line. The order line is 1-888-8-NYART. That's 1-888-836-9278. Hi to those of you tuning in via the web at kgov.com. Please feel free to check out our store at kgov. Click on the top right part of the homepage. Or you can call us and ask us about our materials. If you've got a question about the Bible, question came up in Sunday school or a question about marriage, raising kids, give us a call and ask if we have any materials that will help you with the issue that you're dealing with. And we'll let you know. We've got quite a lot of Bible study materials going through so much of the Bible, and you just might really enjoy it. So call. Bob Enyart here. Welcome to those tuning in via KLTT, AM 670 in Denver. Hi, this is a live commercial break, and this show airs in Denver and on the internet at kgov.com. So if you ever miss a show, you can go to the web later that day, the next week, the next month, next year, and click on a show, right-click on it, save as, save it to your desktop, and then at your leisure, enjoy the show. And if it's one you really like, then burn it to a CD and share it with a friend, like our Michael Shermer debate Thursday night that we re-aired on Memorial Day. Wasn't that fun, debating an editor with Scientific American? It's so interesting how the Christians have the answers and are willing to talk science, and the atheists who claim to base their beliefs on science are afraid to talk about science. They want to talk about religion or philosophy. Isn't that amazing? Well, check out our video, Bob Debates an Evolutionist with Dr. Eugenie Scott, or the video Confronting an Atheist, showing that God exists. Really fun. Mount St. Helens, what a great video about that volcano. Or Planets, Stars, and the Bible. What an interesting video. So you can call us at 1-800-8-ENYART or go to the web at kgov.com. That's 1-800-836-9278. Now we're going to Texas. Tom, speak your mind.
Bob?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to do a commercial for you.
Yeah.
You know, you remember my brother-in-law?
Your brother-in-law that was not a believer.
We sent the Mount Moriah tape to him.
Mount Moriah.
And last Tuesday night, he accepted the Lord.
Praise God. Tom, that's exciting.
And, you know, between my letters, but I think the clincher was the Mount Moriah tape. The evidence was so compelling that I just couldn't deny it, you know. And
The evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
And I think if there's anyone out there that has relatives or loved ones or friends that they want to get saved, they should order that tape and give it to them.
Order the tape and give it to them. And Tom, we have had so many people say that their relatives, just what you're saying now, I'm thrilled to hear this, that they got saved watching that video. And, you know, we've had Christians who've said to me, they said they watched Mount Moriah and their first reaction was that they were really mad at their church. And I said, why would you be mad at your church? And I remember one guy said, I've been a Christian for 30 years. I didn't know there was any evidence for the resurrection. I never heard that. And there's overwhelming evidence that remains to this day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead.
Well, you know, not only I have a friend in Omaha, Nebraska, an old Army buddy.
Yeah.
And he'd been going to church for 30 years, and nobody ever told him how to get saved.
Wow.
You know, where Paul says, you know, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you know.
Yeah, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you will be saved.
And he didn't know. Nobody ever told him.
Wow.
And so, you know, I have a letter writing ministry and he's accepted the Lord. And nobody ever told him how.
Wow. Hey, thank you for your ministry.
Anyway, I have a quick question for you, Bob.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law, even though he's saved, is still having trouble accepting that the earth is only 6,000 years old.
All right.
And I suspect that somebody got to him with some kind of a gap theory. Could you tell me what that is?
Well,
and what are some good books and tapes that I could send him to, you know, help a baby Christian get over his public school education?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I tell you, obviously he's willing to read. He's read letters you've written to him.
Yep.
There's an article on the web that is so great. It's by Los Alamos, Los Alamos, one of our national laboratories, by John Baumgartner, a scientist there. And he wrote about a debate they were having there on the existence of God. And you can get to that debate. You can get to his article, and he deals with the age of the earth from a very scientific, very direct perspective.
Do you have the website?
Well, I don't, but I can tell you how to go to it.
Okay.
Just go to kgov.com. No, wait a minute here. No, go to theologyonline.com. Theologyonline.com, and you got to go into the forums. Now, this is a little bit of a description here, but you go into the forums, and you want to go to the Battle Royale 7, where we debated, does God exist?
Yeah.
And in there, in the debate, does God exist, I quote Los Alamos. Just search for Los Alamos National Labs. I quote John Baumgartner. And in that quote, I put a link to his article.
Okay. Can you spell his last name?
You'd ask me that, huh? B-A-U-M-G-A-R-T-N-E-R, maybe?
Okay.
I'm actually not 100% sure. But, yeah, it's in the Battle Royale 7, Does God Exist? Debate at Theology Online. And you could find John Baumgartner's link. In fact, I just got to it myself.
Your mom told me that there's a book by Dr. Walt Brown, too, In the Beginning.
In the Beginning, what a great book by Dr. Walt Brown. Yeah.
That would be good also, huh?
Well, that would be tremendous. That's a great book. And also, you know, the books that are classics, like by Henry Morris, The Genesis Flood. But you've
what
got
is it?
The Genesis Flood by Henry Morris, published by ICR. And there are various books on a young earth and showing the evidence for an old earth and a young earth.
Okay. Henry Morris.
Yeah. I like to ask people, you know, once in a while we're hiking through the mountains in the Rockies and we'll meet some nature lover. And I'll say, you give me your five pieces of evidence that the earth is old, and I'll give you five pieces of evidence that it's young. And we'll see whose evidence is stronger, whose is irrefutable, whose is weak. And it's fun, Tom.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Well, another subject.
Oh, go ahead.
My 13-year-old grandson was telling me that over the summer vacation they had to do a book report. And I said, well, what is the book about? And he said, well, it's about these early settlers who were attacked by the Indians. And the settlers thought that God was punishing them because they had become wicked, and God sent the Indians to kill the women and children.
Yeah.
So I said to him, I said, do you think that God sent the Indians, or did the Indians just go and kill the women and children by themselves?
Yeah.
And he said, I don't think God would kill innocent women and children.
Yeah.
And I says, hallelujah. You know?
Well, so, I remember when there were Galileans who were headed to Jerusalem to bring their sacrifices to the temple.
I remember that passage.
This is 2,000 years ago, and Pilate had them killed. He had his soldiers kill these Galileans along with their sacrifices, and Jesus in Luke said, Pilate mixed the blood of the sacrifices with the blood of the Galileans. And the Lord Jesus said, what do you think, the Galileans were the worst sinners, and that's why that happened to them? I tell you no.
Yeah, that's right. Jesus
and he said, you better repent. You better repent of your sin. But that's not why that happened to them, because they were the worst sinners. And Jesus said, how about that tower, the Tower of Siloam, that fell and killed 18 people? And Jesus said, and you know, Tom, most Christians don't even know these stories that you and I are talking about right now.
Oh, I know.
You know that? They think it's in, it's like, it's not in the Bible. It must be in some weird book. No, it's in the Bible. It's in the Gospel of Luke. And the Tower of Siloam fell, killed 18 people. Jesus said, you think they were the worst sinners? You think that tower hit them because of their sin? Is that what you think?
I tell you no.
I tell you no, but you better repent because you guys are pretty messed up.
Well, you know, anyway, I explained to him, I said, you know, I said, people that accuse God of killing innocent children are going to have to stand before God someday on Judgment Day, and he's going to ask them, well, why did you accuse me of murdering those children?
Yeah, now, and that of course, brings up the question of events like the flood and other events in the Bible where God did kill everyone.
And yeah, but he has the right to move people from one room to another.
Well, yeah, right.
So to speak.
He created us to live this life on earth, and because of sin, then when we die, we live the rest of our lives in the afterlife, either in heaven or hell.
Right.
And God has the total, complete right to move us from this life to the next life. He has that right. But he did not delegate that right to human beings indiscriminately where we could just kill anyone we don't like or we find inconvenient. We can't just torture and murder people. We can't do that. It's a sin and it's wicked. And so when people sin and do wickedness, and then Christians say, well, that's God doing that, God will not appreciate being falsely accused and blamed for the wickedness of those who hate him.
Exactly.
Right.
And, you know, my grandson, after I explained this to him and everything, you know what he said to me? He said, you know, if we preach a God that kills innocent women and children to unbelievers, it's going to turn them off.
Huh.
And I said, 13 years old, and this kid has got it figured out.
Yeah, that's right. That's a very good point.
You know, I was so proud of him.
Yeah, I would be too. A lot of Christians think if a drunk driver kills a little girl, that's the hand of God.
Oh, I know.
Why is it the hand of God? Why can't, what, did God create us and we're incompetent to accomplish anything? He created us as completely impotent creatures. Many Christians think we can do nothing, good or bad.
Well, we can't even accept the Lord on our own.
Well, a lot of Christians believe that we can't even trust in God. And that if you got to love God, a lot of Christians think, well, you can't love God, even if you're a Christian. You can't love God. Only God can love himself through you. It's like when God created us, he made nothing. Bob Inyart here, live commercial break. So that Mount Moriah video that Tom mentioned that his brother-in-law saw, that video, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ and you give us a call, write us, email us at kgovlive@aol.com, we will send you a copy of that video for free, free of charge. If you are a Christian, now, some Christians will call up and say, could I get a free video for my brother-in-law's, sisters, cousins, mothers, uncles, dealers, victims, probation officers, so on and so forth? And we say, no, if you're a Christian, you need to buy a copy of the video. For one, then it's your ministry. And it's you investing your life and your resources into another person. But also because Bob Inyart Live needs revenue to stay on the air and to continue to produce videos and audio tape albums and CDs and CD Bible studies and seminars. That's our passion, to teach the Bible to as many people as we can. So if you purchase a copy of Mount Moriah, you might want two. They're only $24.95 for a video. We have a discount, you know. You could get any five videos for $94.95. Any five videos. That brings it down. Okay, public school teachers, quick. How much does that bring it down? From $25 for one to $95 for five. Right? That brings it down by $6 to $19 a video. So you could get five of them for $94.95, or you could get one for $24.95. And if you have a church library, I think you probably will want one for your church library. Now, at Denver Bible Church, we got them in our church library. In fact, they're usually checked out. So we're going to have to bring – I'm going to have to give a note to our church secretary.
Bring another Mount Moriah to church on Sunday.
But you might want to check out that video because it's just neat to see the evidence. We're back. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-YART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Now, someone sent to me a letter to the editor that was written by my cousin in New Jersey, who is the homosexual activist. I haven't even read it. I haven't read the letter. But it's apparently appeared in the local North Jersey newspaper. Maybe the Herald. Could it be? But let's see here. I think I'll read it to you. I have not read it to myself. This is written by Michael Galluccio of Paterson, New Jersey. He's the homosexual who changed the law in New Jersey to grant full equal rights to homosexual people for adopting kids. And by the way, the editor put that note after Michael's letter, just to remind the audience who he is. And so here's the letter, and the headline is "Gays, Lesbians Just Seek Equality." And you know what's funny about that? That's what the Christian leaders in America, that's the same strategy that Christian leaders were taking, like Focus on the Family and Colorado for Family Values and Concerned Women of America and Chuck Colson's Prison Fellowship. They're all saying that homosexuals should have equal rights. And Bob and Yart Live and a few other voices in the country were saying, no, no, Christian leaders, no, don't say homosexuals should have equal rights. That's what their strategy is. Homosexuality is a crime. It's been a crime for 3,500 years. Under Moses, it was a crime. Under Joshua, it was a crime. Under Jesus and the Apostle Paul, it was a crime. For our founding fathers, it was a crime. Homosexuality is a crime. If homosexuals deserve equality, that means it's not a crime. And they could hold hands in the park and smooch in front of your kids. They can teach kindergarten kids and coach high school and middle school wrestling teams and write the textbooks for kids. Homosexuality is a crime. So anyway, virtually every major national Christian ministry in the country could agree with this headline here that they put on my cousin's letter to the editor, "Gays, Lesbians Just Seek Equality." Well, that's what we want for homosexuals, equal rights. Now, why did the Christians take the lead on equal rights for homosexuals in the last decade? Why did they do that? Well, because they had a tagline for a little battle they were in. The battle was about Colorado's Amendment 2. In Colorado's Amendment 2, they came up with this line. They said, no special rights for homosexuals. And that's the way they wanted to get the amendment passed by the people of Colorado. And it passed. Big deal. It passed. It meant nothing. It was obvious it meant nothing at the time. The Republican U.S. Supreme Court would overturn it. And so they said, the homosexuals want special rights. No special rights for homosexuals. Equal rights, not special rights. That was the Christian community's line. Equal rights for homosexuals, not special rights. And at Bob and Yurt Live, we were shouting from the roof, from the hilltops, from the mountaintops in Colorado, no, no equal rights for homosexuals. Homosexuality is a crime. We are trying to win a battle and we're giving up the war because we're fools. Because we Christians, we don't know the Bible. We don't know what God says about homosexuality. We're embarrassed about what God says about homosexuality. We don't know history. We don't know that adultery was against the law in this country until the last 30 or 40 years. We don't even know that. We think adultery has to be legal. And pornography has to be legal. Now, homosexuality has to be legal. And the Christians 30 or 40 years from now, they'll think that pedophilia has to be legal, just how Christians today think homosexuality and adultery and fornication and pornography needs to be legal. When does it stop? When you become ashamed of the law of God, where does it stop? So my cousin really just caught up with the Christian ministries in the country with the headline to his letter to the editor, Gays, Lesbians, Just Seek Equality. Over the past weeks, the already heated discussions of gay marriage and adoption have reached a new pitch. Last week, the Vatican put out a document which was essentially a call to action for Catholic politicians to vote against these issues as a moral duty. As a gay father who has been, quote, married to my husband for more than 20 years, it is my moral duty to my family to speak out. So my cousin Michael is calling his partner John his husband. Now, I was never really sure who the guy and who the woman was in the relationship. Probably they both call each other husband for some kind of new equality. First, on the matter of adopting children, the statement that allowing gay parents to adopt would actually mean doing violence to these children is absurd, almost cruel. Well, Michael, if it's not true, it is cruel. It's not almost cruel, it is cruel. If it's true, it's not absurd. So let's figure out which it is. Let's go to the phones in Colorado Springs. Mary, speak your mind.
Pastor Inyart?
Yes.
Did you see the show Unlocking the Mysteries of Life? I figured you would have spoke about it if you had seen
it. I did not see it. Tell us about it.
Okay, this is so bizarre. Are you ready? Your tin is going to drop.
All right, go
to the
ahead.
Ground.
All right, I'm prepared.
On PBS, of all places, they had a pro-creationism show.
Oh, my.
Called Unlocking the Mysteries of Life on Sunday night.
Wow.
And I thought you would have spoken about it if you had seen
yeah,
it, but
right.
I can't believe
it.
Did you hear
right.
about it?
No, I'm in shock. How could it be?
I knew you would be.
Mary, did you see the whole thing from end to end?
No, I got in, I think I saw about 3/4 of it.
You missed the first part.
I missed like a quarter of it, yeah.
Okay, of the beginning? Or of the end.
Yeah, but I mean, I saw enough of it to know there is no way that they were refuting it for the first quarter and then the 3/4 of it
right.
supporting it.
Right.
I mean,
wow.
They even showed, like, when they showed Darwin's, they showed the full title
of Darwin's book of Origin
of the Species, that it was racist.
That it was racist? They showed that? How could that be? That doesn't make sense.
And they showed Francis Crick,
yeah,
his quote, saying
co-discoverer of DNA.
Right. That we must remember when we're looking at this that it was designed, that it didn't evolve. And he was talking about DNA.
Yeah, DNA, right. DNA cannot evolve by random chance because it's irreducibly complex. There are no easy little steps for designing the grammar necessary for DNA to function.
Right, and they had Kenyon on, who at first was writing about the inevitability of evolution.
Yeah.
And now he's a creationist, and he's a molecular geneticist. And they had Jonathan Wells on, and they had... I mean, I was just blown away. I thought you would be too.
Mary, I am. Something doesn't make sense. Now, let me ask you, do you know if this was a nationally broadcast show, or was it only on a PBS station in Colorado Springs?
I was in Denver, actually, on Sunday night. So it
Denver
was playing on Denver.
We have Channel 6.
And if you go to 1-800-PLAY-PBS, I mean, would they sell it as a video if it was just in Denver?
If it was just in Denver, they wouldn't sell it.
Yeah, so I think it showed nationally.
Did you call? Did you call
about that?
Did you call that number?
No, I haven't, but I'm planning on it.
Yeah.
Because I was just so blown away.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to hear this, and we got to find out more. Now, PBS in Denver, Channel 6 and Channel 12. So we've got two.
Yeah, I can't remember which one it was on. I think it was 6.
Yeah, we have two public TV stations here in Denver. And Channel 12.
No, it was just amazing. They had Philip Johnson on there. They had everybody on there. And
wow.
It was just amazing.
Well, Mary, thank you. Hopefully someone else in the audience has seen it and could give us more information. And I can't comprehend why they would air it.
I can't either. I was just shocked beyond belief.
Right.
But it was completely creationistic. And they didn't have any... thing saying, oh, but you know, of course, evolution is right, which you would think would be PBS's.
Of course, evolution
thing.
Is the word evolution by their mission statement has to be in every sentence of every program.
I know.
So I don't know how they could do this, Mary, but it's exciting. All right.
I know. I was blown away. Well, it's really exciting.
You know, it was either a mistake. That they aired it by accident, or someone paid them a fortune to air it, which is possible.
It looked like they did because it was professionally produced. I mean, it was as sophisticated as any NOVA program.
Wow. Well, thank you, Mary, for that neat update.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Call again sometime.
Thank you.
It's great to hear from you. Hey, this is Bob Benyar. We're out of time. Never got past the first paragraph of my cousin's letter to the editor. It has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I'm counting the paragraphs, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 paragraphs. So we'll get to that perhaps tomorrow night. At any rate, hey, thanks for tuning in. And the battle against the terrorists is crucial, and it's we Christian conservatives who understand the matter, understand the principles, we need to be the authority. So know your Bible, study your Bible, and speak with authority when it's a matter that you know. And something we're not sure of, we tell people, hey, I'm not sure, let me get back to you on that. When it's something we know, we speak with authority. Not, well, in my opinion, terrorists should be executed. That's God's opinion. You know, God's opinion, and that settles it. This is Bob Benyar reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.